Hi, lover. Yeah, I just wanted to say a couple things before the episode started. And I'm going to use my regular big girl voice and not really my soft tone because I know you guys hear me every week, but I don't think you really hear me. Okay? So, one thing you're probably thinking, girl, why are you talking to me on a Tuesday? It's a freaking Tuesday. I've been wanting to change the day I released the podcast for a while. Did I remember that when season 3 started? No, but it's something that was in the back of my mind. So yeah, there you have it. We're posting on Tuesdays now, just because your feed is probably so flooded by new episodes every Friday. You need to see me. I see you, but do you see me? Okay, and more importantly, do you hear me? Which brings me back to my original point. Can you please leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcast? Even if you left one before. I see the numbers. I see you guys tuning in and listening every week. Can you please, I'm begging you, I'm on my knees. Can you please leave a rating and review for me, your girl, on Apple Podcasts? I would really love you down. I would love you down. And even more, if you have time today, go look at the merch. POV.plus, okay? POV.plus, go look at the merch. Go look at it. I swear to God, you're gonna love it, okay? If you don't leave the site with something in your cart, I owe you money, okay? But can you at least go look at it? Okay. I just wanted to make sure, like, you heard me. Because, like, you know, I went the production route. I made, like, a cute little commercial. I put cute music behind that. But, like, you bitches is really treating it like it's a theme song. You is not hearing me. Y'all is not hearing me. So I had to break out the accents. I had to break out the big girl tone. Go look at the merch. Leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you. And share it with your friends and your family. Was there something that you resonated with? Share it. Okay? It's like, I love production. I love making things look all cutesy. But like, I get it also because like, when I listen back to it, do I hear a single word I'm saying? No, but I'm like, doodle, doodle, do. Doodle, doodle, do. Divine, sexy. It's giving, blah, 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 blah. First name, last name. Papa, okay, all right. So I had to pop in and be a little not demure, a little not cutesy for a minute, okay? Because I needed to get the point across, all right? All right. Thank you. Love you down. Bye. This episode is, I already know the name of it. I did the outline because I did my job for once, okay? It's called Hard Lessons from a Hoe Phase. And I've alluded to that I had a hoe phase this summer, but I really feel like I learned a lot from it. I made a TikTok video earlier this last month, talking about how I wanted to basically give myself exposure therapy to men and their assets, we'll say, because we got to keep it PG. Update this week, if you follow me on TikTok, you know that I went viral for one of the things that I said during the episode about body positivity, and some of the people did not like that. Some people did not like that. So they mass reported my YouTube account and got it taken down. Yeah, they mass reported my YouTube account and got it taken down. That was really shocking. Like, I was like, are you fucking serious? And the thing that they mass reported me for was nudity and sexual content, which is so insane. Okay? So insane. I don't think I even have to explain to you why, but okay. Go ahead. Go off, queen. So I'm gonna keep it as PG as I can in this episode, even though I never really go crazy. But anyways, so this summer, one of the things that I really wanted to get into, and I'm gonna tell you a lot about what happened to me this summer, okay? So this summer, at the start of this summer, I was in a really bad place mentally. I really was. I was just not happy with anything that was happening in my life. I still live at home, for those of you who know. If you know, you know. And me and my mom just were not getting along. Me and Queen, Miss Girl, we were at it head to head all the time. And I just found myself feeling incredibly, I'm not even going to say resentful. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. I hated her. I straight up was hating her. And I just felt so beside myself. Like, I felt like I needed to leave. Like, I needed to get out of this environment. And I think we were just not getting along. And, like, I was under a lot of pressure. I didn't have a job. There was a lot of stuff that I was trying to figure out that, you know, when you live with your parents, you are essentially giving up your peace of mind for those things. For the free rent. For the free rent. That's what you're giving up your peace of mind for. So I had given up my peace of mind. And baby, I had no more peace of mind to give. I had none. Listen, I'm stuttering. I actually felt like I was this close to being put into a mental ward. Like, I was not well. Okay. So my friend, who he does all of these weird jobs, but he was going out of the state for like months, and he was like, oh, you can stay at my place. It's not a big deal. Like, just watch my dogs. It's all good, whatever. And I was like, thank you. Like, rent free. Thank you. I love you. So I went and I stayed at his place, and he had a roommate, and she and I were getting along really good until like literally the last 2 days I was there. And I still don't know what happened with that. We were really close. Like, it was giving bestie. It was giving best friend. Like, it was giving made a best friend in my adult years. And then I don't know what the fuck happened. I literally could not tell you for the life of me what happened between me and her. We just stopped. Like, one day she came and, like, she had, like, such a weird attitude, and I could just feel that something was wrong in the air. And I was like, what is going on? And she literally refused to tell me. And when I asked her, like, we have to talk it out, she was like, you're crossing my boundaries right now, because you want to know why I'm mad at you and I don't want to tell you. And I was like, okay, all right, bitch, that's enough for me. So I literally packed my shit up and left, you know, which, very grateful that I had somewhere to go to. But I was really hoping to get my life a lot more together by the end of the summer. I didn't. And I got a job. I got a couple things I got figured out, but like, it wasn't the, you know how sometimes people's lives change like literally overnight? That's what I was hoping for. It wasn't, but it did send me on a path, which I really appreciate. And I will forever be grateful for my friend for allowing me the space and the place and the opportunity to just reset my mind and to get myself into a better place. Because, baby, I was not in a good place. Okay. So I moved. I was out the house for the summer, and I'm not going to lie to you, I was really horny for the last year. I was crazy horny. I have talked about what happens when you turn 29. And I think because I had gone into 29 having had such a long celibacy phase, that by the time I kind of realized I didn't want to be celibate anymore, all of my hoes essentially were dead. They were dead and gone. I did not know where the men had run off to. They literally like had scattered like cockroaches when you turn on the light. Okay. They were, some of them were married. Sorry, I screamed. Some of my hoes were married, bro. Some of them were married. Some of them got married in the time that I was celibate. Do you know how crazy that is? Anyways, some of them were in relationships. Some of them moved across the country. Some of them left the country. I was like, I got to start from scratch. Why did I do that to myself? I got to start from scratch. But I will tell you one thing. Men are so easy. It is crazy. Men are so easy. It's crazy. And you know, before I even get into this, because I get comments like this all the time, I got a comment from a girl because I was talking about my hoe phase and how, like, I was getting what I needed. You know, I was like a little squirrel climbing, chitter, 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 get my little pecans, get my little acorns, get my little nuts and store them for the winter. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't really like messing around during the winter. Like, that's really for the summer months. You know what I'm saying? But I had a girl comment on one of my videos that I made on TikTok, and she said, I don't really like that. I feel like it's really unhealthy. Actually, I can read you verbatim what the comment said. Hold on, let me pull it up because I saved it. She left a comment on the video essentially saying, like, I don't really think that's healthy because why do these guys deserve to use your body to, you know, come and essentially and whatnot. And I was like, I read that and I was like, I understand what you're saying. Like, men really don't deserve me. They really don't. But at the end of the day, it's also my choice. That's I understand the power dynamics. I get it. I do. I understand where she's coming from. I understand that notion that why would you allow a man to have the joys and the facilities, the beauty, the fucking glory that is your feminine body. But I feel like by thinking like that, I'm also erasing extremely whorish, sexually, I don't even know what the word is, like, excited part of me. Like, I'm just erasing the horny part of me. And it's like, I'm not going to pretend like that part of me doesn't exist because, oh my God, she does. She does. And she's active. And I feel like a lot of the times I'm constantly suppressing her because not only am I looking to express my, you know, my needs and my hedonism, that's the word we're going to use for that. Not only am I looking to express my needs and my hedonism, but I'm also looking for love in the long run. And it was at this point, girl, I was not looking for love. I was not looking for love. I did not care about love. Love had run away. Run away, love. Run away. Yeah. Love had run away from the conversation. Love was like, you, pieces. Pictures, deuces, love had left, honey. Like, and I had no interest in getting to know anybody. I had no interest in getting to know any man. I had no interest in caring about his favorite color, about how many siblings he had, what his hopes and dreams. I didn't give a damn. I literally did not give a damn. And I was like, yeah, you're a warm body for me right now. But I'm, you know, I function different. I move different than a lot of men would because, you know, emotional maturity. Where a lot of guys, they want to have their cake, but they want you to fall in love with them. And it's so much to feed their ego. I didn't need that ego boost. I didn't give a damn if you were in love with me or not. I knew what I wanted and I knew what I wanted to satisfy. And that was okay with me to be on the same page with somebody else and be like, you have that need. I have this need. I never want to talk to you again. I never care to talk to you again. I don't care what your favorite color is. I don't care any of that. As long as you wear a condom and you're respectful and I am a squirrel and I get my acorns and my pecans and my almonds for the winter, I'm good. Like, I don't really care about you. Like, and that, I made that very clear, okay? And there were a couple of times, and I'm not going to lie to you, I absolutely understood what fuckboys felt, but not totally, because so many of the times these F-boys, they put themselves in these situations. I was not putting myself in that situation. Girl, we're going to get to the serious part of this, but we're just going to get the fun out of this is the fun and games portion. We're going to get that out of the way. The very first guy that I hooked up with this summer, his name was Devin. Ooh. I don't care. I blocked him on anything. Anyways, his name was Devin. We had dinner and then he came back to my place. And when I tell you this man, it was done in 2 seconds. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, okay, it's okay. Everything's fine. Why did this man then proceed to ask me out on a date? He proceeded to ask me out on a date. And I was like, I didn't say this out loud because I'm not evil. But in my head, I was like, okay, you just came in 2 seconds. I understand that can be embarrassing. And perhaps you feel the need to, you know, to prove that he could do tricks as a pony. And I was like, we'll talk about it. He left. And then I never texted him back, which I was like, oh my God, we did it. We hooked up with somebody for the first time and we did not care about feelings. Yay. And then it became dangerously easy to do that. Yeah. I love the freedom of being sexually uninhibited. I do. But I learned a lot of hard lessons along the way, and I'm going to tell you what they are. One of my friends, who she had a crazy hoe phase. We talk about it all the time, but she tells me about her crazy hoe phase and how, like, she just would never have another one like that again. Yeah, I'm over it. Because, bitch, Like, I'm so over it. And it happened because I had a guy over and he was laying in my bed talking while the movie was going, which I hate. If you know anything about me, you know I hate when people talk during the fucking movie. Unless it's a reality TV show, there's no reason for you to be yappy. Stop yapping. He was yapping the whole time. He'd been over for a while. Like, he'd been over for like a couple hours at that point. And oh my God, he had so much energy. He was 24, I'm 28. And he just had so much energy. And he ate me out for hours. And I was just, I wanted him out of my house. Like, I wanted him gone. At that point, like, looking at him and, like, you know, being happy that he looked like he was about to get ready to leave, I was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna, you know, move forward with a little bit more intention. Okay. I'm not going to be so willy-nilly. And then I got strep throat for the third time that summer. And I really was over it at that point because I got strep throat three times that summer. I'm lucky I didn't get mono. Just because I liked a boy. No. I was over it. I was like, all right, I don't, you know, I did the exposure therapy. I'm no longer feeling like I need to fall in love with every guy I hook up with. Great. You got it? You learned it? Awesome. No more. No mas. Non poquito. No more. Ensalada es closed. Okay? Like, it's closed. Okay? It's done. I was like, oh my fucking God. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm literally, this is insane. I was over it. I really was over it. Like, and my friend, she thought that shit was so fucking funny. The one that was like, don't do a whole face. But I was like, I need. She thought it was so funny. She was like, what did I tell you? She's like, what did I tell you? She's like, a whole face never ends well. She was like, it ends because something horrible happens. And I was like, yes, I know. I will listen to you. There won't be a next time, but I'll listen to you more now, okay? So that's what essentially ended it. But I did learn a lot about myself, okay? And I'm going to go through all of the things I learned about. Because this is the thing, right? So during that time, I thought, before I made the decision that I did want to go back to dating with intention, and it wasn't just because I got strep for the third fucking time, it was because I realized that I wanted to be courted. Well, I'm still, okay, this is the thing. I'm not ready right now. I'm not ready to fully be dating. I'm not ready to be courted. I'm not ready to have to sift through bullshit. I'm not ready to, like, I don't know, to be a decent person to somebody else. I'm not ready for that right now because I don't want to. But I also know that that's what I'm preparing myself for and that I don't want to be actively in a hoe phase, if that makes sense. I hope it does. So I kind of was asking myself and like thinking, like, when was the last time I actually liked a guy? When was the last time that I felt like there was a guy that was, you know, I was spending time with, that was in my, hi precious, that was in my aura, that deserved my time? Like, that's really what I was kind of starting to ask myself. And I realized that it wasn't, like, last time I felt that way was 2022 about a guy. And I was like, okay, so, like, that answers itself. So then I asked myself, like, I remembered who the last guy that I actually really liked was. He was a DJ. And I know he's a DJ, literally setting myself up for failure. But he ended up having a crush on my friend, which was so ridiculous. And this is when all of this really started, okay? So I had a crush on this DJ. And I was in a friend group that I'm no longer in, because Atlanta, let me tell you something. Atlanta is a funny place. I don't think I've ever talked about this, but I'm about to talk about it now. I had a friend who, he was in the arts, okay? And he was doing his very first big project. And I have a friend who's a producer and I hold her to such high esteem. Like, she is like, I'm like, I look up to her. She is so smart. She's so intelligent. Like, she's just somebody that I really hold to high esteem. this was my friend. These two were my friends. So he was doing his first big project. He didn't have a producer. So I was like, okay, I'll introduce you two. I introduced the two of them. He just showed his ass. He showed his whole motherfucking ass on that project. Showed his absolute ass and ass crack. And it was just like, it was so, at one point, because I will believe my friend before I believe anybody else. I've known this woman since college. I hold her to such high esteem. Like, I'm not an idiot, you know? So I asked him how everything went. I don't remember what he said, but he was like, oh, everything's like fine. And I was like, okay, because my friend told me it's not fine. Like, she told me shit is not good. Like, what are you doing? What is going on? Oh my God. He started yelling at me. He was like, I'm a creative, like a psycho. And I was like, literally screaming at me. And I was like, okay, that's over with. Come to find out later that one of our mutual friends who helped him on that project, who she did the set design, he never paid her. Okay. He never paid her for it. And also he did not want to pay anybody. Like, he didn't want to pay anybody. He wanted to keep all the money for himself. And like, it was so obvious and pathetic and like, girl. So anyways, during that time, that's when I met that DJ. And I had such like a schoolgirl crush on the DJ. It was really pathetic, honestly. And he had a crush on one of my friends, whatever. So this friend, the one, I'm a creative. We're going to call him I'm a creative. I was like, you need to like find out if the DJ is like into me. Like, find out if the DJ is into me. And he was like, okay. So he went and asked the DJ if the DJ was into me. And the DJ kind of gave like this really vague answer. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I know that it meant no. Okay. We were at dinner. And I just want to note before I tell you what I did that I was really dramatic and I wasn't on medication. And actually, I was undiagnosed. So let's just keep that one in mind right now. Okay. We are at my friend's birthday dinner, and I fully hold accountability that I ruined my friend's birthday dinner, okay? Not I'm a creative, but I'm a creative's boyfriend, okay? Tells me this, I'm like, oh, excuse me. Go to the bathroom, I start fucking sobbing. Because one of the things that comes with the mental illness that I have and my untreated ADHD is rejection sensitivity. Okay. I was crying so hard in this bathroom, I had to leave the restaurant. And I'm telling you right now that I was having a mental illness episode. Okay. I'm out of this restaurant. I'm sitting on the side of the street, and this street is, it has a huge curve. Like the restaurant, oh, Precious looks crazy. It has a huge curve and the restaurant is right at the peak of the curve. So cars come swerving around that all the time. Y'all, I sat there and actually thought about walking into traffic. Like, I had to really restrain myself from walking into traffic because this DJ was not into me. And it wasn't until one of my friend was there. Kenya was there. She came down and she was like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And I was like, crying, sobbing. I was like, nobody ever likes me. Like, it's everything sucks. Like, I'm never gonna fall in love. Nobody's ever into me. Like, literally. And I heard myself saying the stuff out loud. And I was like, what? I was like, well, you were gonna kill yourself because a hardly employed DJ wasn't into you? Do you hear yourself now, right? And I was like, I hear myself. And I was like, something's wrong. Something's really wrong. Something's really wrong. You're mentally unwell. Something's really wrong. And I kid you not, within 2 weeks, I went to see a psychiatrist. I could not tell my therapist about this because she would have sent me to the loony bin, okay? And I did not feel like being held against my will, thank you. So I didn't tell her about that. But that stayed with me for a long time. And I knew, and during that, before my hoe phase, I didn't try to date because I knew that if I liked anyone, if I put myself out there, I was an uncontrolled variable. I didn't know how to I was unstable. I was unstable. And like, and it wasn't until like that guy that I was really into that like I dated for a short while in 2022, that was very serendipitous. You know, that wasn't something I went looking for, which proved, right? If I had killed myself, I would have never learned this, which proved that I could be liked, that I could be appreciated, that I could, to a sense, be loved. But I wasn't dating anybody during that time between me going to the psychiatrist because of my rejection sensitivity to me deciding that I was going to have my hoe phase. After my little hoe phase, I was like, I'm not really ready to date, but I also think that I'm going to be a little bit more intentional about how I interact with men. Because the other thing that I thought about all the time, I'm not going to hold you, I disregarded the fuck out of my safety, girl. Safety? The way I listen to true crime, this is not how I should have been moving in the world. Okay? I know better. Okay? Would I every once in a while have a guy send me a picture of his license before he came over? Yeah. Did I do that all the time? No. You know, the scariest thing that could happen is me getting raped, but that's not really on the table because I'm giving full consent to this hookup. Why was it not towards the very end of my hoe phase that I was like, actually, that's not the worst that could have happened. There could have been a guy who really wanted to know what human flesh tastes like, divine. Okay? Who really wanted to know what it was like to cut up a body or kill somebody. And I think that put a lot of stuff into perspective for me that I really was fucking wilding out. One of the scariest true crime things I ever listened to was about a serial killer truck driver and how it took him forever to get caught because he was constantly moving states. And then on top of that, there was one crime that he did that was so heinous that involved like his truck. And I think about that all the time, every time I see a truck, like all the fucking time. So I knew that I never wanted to like hook up with a truck driver, never wanted to get involved with a truck driver, none of it. I'm not saying all truck drivers are serial killers. That's not what I'm saying at all. I just know that that story stuck with me and I can't do it. So it wasn't until after that I found out that this guy was a truck driver and I was like, oh my God, like, girl, you were not vetting these guys enough. Like, you didn't care. And I didn't care. And I'm just, you know, I feel very blessed and I'm fine. I'm glad that nothing happened to me. Truly protected by my grandmother's prayers. But would I recommend for everybody? No, I definitely would recommend to be fucking smarter than I was. And this, I'm 28 and this just happened over the summer. I know I'm an adult and I have full autonomy over my life and I have full control over everything I do and there's nobody there to tell me no. You know, which I love, but I need to be a little bit more responsible is what I'm saying. You know, nobody got the money for a funeral right now. Okay. Also, which reminds me, having sisters is so funny. I have one sister. I don't know why I said sisters, but me and my sister got into it a lot this summer. We were butting heads. And mind you, we're nowhere near the same age. My sister is 10 years fucking older than me. And during one of my moments where I wasn't taking my medication, which when I don't take my medication, I get very suicidal. And I don't know if you've noticed, but this season I'm being a little bit more open about that because I feel like we need to talk more about it. Like, I don't know what to say. I'm having a whole episode on suicidal ideation near the end of this season, so be prepared for that. But I just think it's something we should talk more about, and I don't think it should be a big dirty secret because I feel like a lot of people need to express how they're feeling so they can actually hear themselves out loud and come to better conclusions. I hate that I'm getting into a piece of another episode here, but I hate that when I go to the therapist, I can't talk about the fact that I feel these ideations. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because they just want, I feel like they want to shut me up and then put me in a mental ward and then put me on all of these medications and all of that stuff. And I'm like, I just need to talk about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So anyways, at one point in the summer, I was having ideations and me and my sister were going at it. She was really rude and annoyed with me. And she... I swear to God. She goes, I'm telling her how I feel suicidal, right? So, you know, I was about to start singing Sean Kingston, but I was telling her how I felt really suicidal and how I didn't necessarily want to see my life through. And she was really annoyed with me because she was going through a bunch of stuff. She's going to a divorce. And I'm like, that doesn't mean I can't go be going through shit too. You know what I'm saying? Like, please. So she was going through some stuff. And I tell her that I'm feeling that way. And she was like, well, you should go ahead and do it. You should go ahead and do it. And I was so upset with her, as I rightfully should. She apologized later. But I told on her to my mom. And my mom was like, why would you say that to her? Like, she's going through so much. Like, she's not in a good place. Like, why would you say that to your sister? Like, Melody, you shouldn't have said that. And then my sister goes, well, if she does that, who the fuck is going to pay for her funeral? What are we going to do? Auction off her wigs? This is not a good time. So I always just find that really funny how siblings function, because y'all could literally hate each other and be talking about how you kind of want the other one to die. And then a week later, you're fine because you have to. It's really kind of not your choice. So yeah, I literally was at that point. It was so funny. I was also like so dramatic. I was just going through a lot. Okay. But I was like, I'm going to go no contact with her because that was really rude. But then she apologized and now we're fine and we talk every day and I love her, I guess. But yeah, so going back to the hoe phase, the other thing that I just wanted to really stop was every time I hooked up with a guy, I would try to find a reason to like him. Like, it couldn't just be sex. Like, I couldn't let it just be sex. Like, it had to have like a deeper meaning and purpose. Like, we had to fall in love. And like, a lot of the times I didn't even really like these guys. I didn't like them. I just found them super attractive and like I wanted to taste them. That was literally it. But I would get so wrapped up in this idea that something had to come of it, of like this weird fairy tale. I'm not going to hold you. I definitely think it was coming from a place of shame, of my Catholic shame, making me feel like to have sex, like it had to lead to marriage. And I did not want to marry these guys. And I definitely, Moon! Stop it. I did not want to marry these guys, and I definitely didn't even want to date them. Finally, kind of found myself feeling like those girls, you know, those girls that get married, and like you could tell they don't like the guy, but they're really like, they really are in love with their faith and they feel like it's the right thing to do. Like, I would want to be in these relationships with these guys, and I would get so hurt when like the relationships didn't work out because we already had sex. You know me already. Like, why can't we just be together? Like, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, that's so fucking stupid. It's like not getting a divorce because you already got married, even though that person is like treating you terribly. So I, that was something that I really just wanted to get out of my system. I was so desperate to stop feeling so much for every guy that I hooked up with, that I had a crush on, that I was even mildly interested in. Like, I was tired of crying every time like a talking phase ended. I was so over it. Like, and I recognized that it never had to be that deep, girl. Like, it didn't have to be that deep. But I just made it so deep every time. And I just wanted that to end because I felt like I was expressing so much emotion all the time, just giving my all to things that didn't matter, to things that were nothing. And I knew, like, it wasn't deep. And I knew that I didn't care. And I knew they didn't care. But I would get upset because they didn't care, because I cared. But that care was manufactured care, and it wasn't real care. And I didn't know these guys. I did not know them to a way that I should care. And it just felt so stupid. And I felt like I was constantly fighting this, like, this patriarchal force of like catering to men and like wanting to cater to men and like wanting their attention and approval and their love. And like, I was just so fucking tired of it. And I think I was so tired of it that by the time I decided, like, I'm finna fuck, I kind of threw all care about STDs out of the window. For some reason in my brain, I literally just thought about only the scariest thing that could happen to me was getting pregnant. That was like my biggest worry, because I don't know. I just, my brain was not functioning, to be quite honest. Your 30s aren't for STDs. Like, let's get that out of the way. Your 30s is not, and I heard, and mind you, around this same time that like I have this third bout of strep throat, I'm starting to think like, these niggas is dirty. And then I'm also starting to think, I'm also starting to read that there's a new strain of syphilis making her debut. Girl, I was like, no, thank you. No, thank you. And the
what the thing is, though. This is the thing I think about a lot. I always think that, like, murderers aren't really going to come after me or kidnappers because I'm fat. And, like, I have a really, this is sound logic in my mind. I'm fucking fat. Do you know how much work you have to do to dispose of my body? That's a lot of fucking work. This isn't, you know, because you watch movies and they cut people up, they get rid of them in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, sections. No, like each one of my sections is like 3 normal sections. You're working 15 times. Like you're doing a lot of work. You got to put in a lot of legwork. You're definitely pulling your back trying to move my fucking body. Like you know how big the hole is that you have to dig to bury me? Very fucking big. Like as a serial killer, I'm not choosing me as a victim because I'm like that fat bitch. I'm not choosing her. And like, but the thing is, like, in my head, this is sound logic, but I know it's not sound logic because I had a friend. She is 5'11", I want to say. She's almost 6 foot. She's a very tall woman. We always thought, you know, nobody's going to try to kidnap us. She's tall as fuck. I almost said skinny as fuck. LOL. I'm fat as hell. Nobody in their right mind is going to try to kidnap us. Somebody in their right mind tried to kidnap her, tried to pull her through a window. Okay. Like, her 5'11" ass tried to pull her through a window. And also, like, you know, I'm always thinking about like a snatch and grab situation, like grab me, throw me in the back of the car. You can't really throw much with me. You can't throw me very far. But you know what you can do? Probably, you know, you got a little poom, you got a little mouse tool and you put that in my back. I'm probably going to have to get in the car. No fighting, just get in the car. But then I also know, because, you know, I've heard the stories that if I move fast enough, if I move in a certain direction, the bullet will just go through my fat and not hit any vital organs. So that's always comforting to know. But yeah, I don't think I'm really the first choice for a serial killer. But it's also like, are they actually, this is such a, okay, all right, whatever. But it's, I think about these things. So now you're going to have to think about it too with me. I don't think they're going to dispose of my body. I think if somebody kills me, they're not like getting rid of me. You know, I think they're just leaving me like for somebody to find in the place that they fucking killed me. Cause they're, you want to try to move my dead weight? Good luck. Good luck, buddy. It's not happening. It ain't happening. I know it sounds like I was using dating apps, how a lot of people use Grindr, how no face, no case, just pop up and pop out. No, I wasn't doing that. I was vetting. I was talking. There was conversation happening. I was, you know, I was seeking out red flags. I was. So I wasn't just letting like total strangers into my abode. Like they were strangers to an extent, but they weren't. Like, I was vetting them out. And, like, you'd have to be, like, a pretty... Because, you know, I'm very good at reading people. And I'm very good at asking the right questions. So anytime a question is just wrong, I made sure, like, I would always tell them. And, like, which one, you know... I mean, this is just what I did. I'm not saying it's completely right. I'm not saying that it really protected me from anything. I'm just saying that this is what I did. I would obviously, you know, I know that there was an attraction there, right? We established we're both attracted to each other. Great. But then I would be like, yeah, I don't sleep with people on the first date, like ever, like maybe on the third date. And if they were cool with that, and like, I wouldn't have text conversations, we'd be FaceTiming so I could read their vibe, so I could read their face, so I could get a better sense of who they were as opposed to like lying on the things you type. So I would, you know, would be FaceTiming and I'd be like, yeah, I don't really, you know, hook up with people on the first date. Like it's more like a third, fourth date type of thing. And there were guys that were like, yeah, no, like I'm gonna need something. Like you want me to come, like you want me to drive 2 fucking miles to your house? Like it's a straight shot. Yeah. But like, I'm gonna need something for that. Like there were definitely those and they definitely ended up in the blocked pile. But the guys, I were like, that's okay. Like we can watch a movie. Like what movies do you like? Like, what do you like to do? Like we can do other things. The guys that were very much thinking that they could get me to fall in love with them to make it, you know, better in the long run for them, those were kind of the ones that I pinpointed. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not fucking falling in love with you, buddy. Come here. You don't gotta say anything else. Just, you're love bombing me. I'm using you. I think you're hot. you're trying to get me to fall in love with you so you can manipulate me. I couldn't care if you live or die. It's a match made in heaven for tonight. One time I even gave a short guy a chance. He was 5'2". I was really being diverse. Yeah. So I'm ready to clean up my act. I'm ready to go into my church girl era. Because I also, let's talk about this for a brief second. The amount of like porn stars and Instagram baddies suddenly converting to religion right now is a telltale sign of the upcoming recession or the recession that we're already in, because I don't know what the heck that's all about. I really don't. I don't know if people are tightening up their wallets so they're not really being as liberal as they would be with their coins when it comes to sex work. But it's like, girl, the church ain't gonna save you. And the funny thing is, like, I've even seen it, like, in the girls I know IRL. Like, there's a good number of girls I know who are suddenly, like, super religious, like, going to church and, like, talking about how they want a church guy. And I'm like, that's rough for you right now, because the guys that are entering the church right now are super red pill. And they're going to church because they want to find a girl who is willing to be super submissive. Like, they've realized that the feminists are outside and they need to go inside the house of the fake Lord. And I say the fake Lord because a lot of them are fucking worshiping golden calves, but that's another conversation for another day. So they're going there to find their wives. And I'm like, yeah. This is the divorces that are coming up in the next few years are going to be very interesting, I think. When I was actively trying to find love, do you know how easily manipulated I could be into anything? I could be easily manipulated into thinking a man was in love with me. I could be easily manipulated into thinking, well, into having sex on the first date, even when I didn't really want to. I did not have the agency that I needed over myself. And I think when we really dial it back and we go back to the, you know, feminist movement and all of these movements and the hookup culture and all of the, you know, all of the things that really stemmed from it that now we're looking back with a different lens and saying, oh, maybe we went too far. When we look back at the reason for it, it was just so women could have a crumb of agency over their bodies. That was it. I was tired of feeling like I needed to hook up with a guy, and then, you know, I psyched myself into it, and then I hook up with the guy and it's not even good. And I don't even arrive. What? At least if I'm doing it on my own terms, I make sure I arrive. These guys, I can tell you that they, every single one of them, knew I was in control and they liked it, number one. There was very much a push and a pull. And there was very much on both ends, like I was pushing, he was pulling, I was pushing. There was very much an understanding that this doesn't end when you arrive and it doesn't end when I arrive either. Like, it's gonna be great for the both of us because we're both consenting adults, and the option to be selfish is out of the door. That's not an option. You don't get to be selfish here. I don't get to be selfish here. And I think, like, I definitely, that was the precipice. I think the peak of my hoe face was definitely Frenchie. Was definitely Frenchie, because it just felt like that's when everything, like, really aligned. And I was like, okay, you're here. There was one guy, he was weird, but there was one guy, he was very much for my pleasure, which I realized that I don't like. I don't like a stone top. I know that's a sapphic term, but I feel like everybody's going to understand what I'm saying. I don't like somebody who's like strictly a pleaser. That makes me feel weird. It makes me feel like I'm being selfish and like I want to give something in return. Like, this isn't just about me. This is a act that we're performing together. So by the time I got to him, I was like, okay, I'm really recognizing what I like and what I don't like. And I don't really like somebody that's all about my pleasure 24/7, because I want to give something back too. Like, where I feel like I'm just pushing and I'm not getting any pull, and I don't really think that's fair, you know? So yeah, I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. If you're going to do one, do do it, but I would definitely say be safe. I definitely had my friends had my location, girl. Like, my friends had my location. I was sending pictures of driver's licenses. Like, it was very much giving that. But I will say, you know, pull up that My Chart. Let me see that My Chart. Let me see them test results. I wasn't doing that. And I am literally actually, like, looking back, like, that was really fucking dumb of you. Divine. So don't be like me. But yeah, that was it.
Free audio post-production by alphonic.com.